You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Friday. It's time for Creation Club with Pastor Worth. Good morning, Pastor Worth.
Good morning, Andy.
How are you doing today? You feeling well?
I'm feeling well, thank you.
Good. Glad to hear that.
You know, this time of year, all the kids go back to school, and it doesn't take long, and they bring home colds and flu, and everybody's sneezing and coughing, and you think, oh, my, why do we have to deal with all this sickness? Well, the Bible has an answer for that. You know, sickness, disease, and death, it's all a result of mankind's fall into sin. And we thank God that he sent Jesus to be our Savior, who has borne our sicknesses, our infirmities, and took our sin and guilt all the way to the cross. He suffered our death for us. He conquered death by his resurrection. In him, we have forgiveness, life, and salvation, and the promise of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting with him in the new heavens, the new earth, creation restored, where there will be no more sickness, suffering, pain, or death, but where we will live the way God intended, in perfect bodies, serving him in joy and peace forever. But in this world, you know, we still deal with sickness and so forth, so we're dealing with a beautiful creation in a fallen world, in a fallen state, after the fall into sin. So when we examine the human body and the rest of creation, currently, we have to bear that in mind, that we're looking at God's good creation, where we see his intelligent design and his wonderful plan for things, but we also see the effects of sin, suffering, death, disease, and so forth, and so how these things interact. And as you just heard from Ken Ham in the little piece right before we came on the air, you know, the appendix is just one part of our wonderful immune system that God has given us, and it's not a vestigial organ left over from some previous earlier stage of our evolution. No, it was designed by God for a function, and it carries out that function admirably, as do the other parts of our immune system. If you want to learn about these things, for those of you who have kids in school who might be interested in doing this, maybe as a science project or a report, there's lots of good material available through Answers in Genesis. Dr. David Menton has produced a series of videos called Body of Evidence, and he goes through human anatomy and physiology in many, many hours' worth of programming there. It's a boxed set of DVDs, and that also includes, you know, the skin and the cell and all the different parts of the body, and he includes the stuff about the immune system there. Dr. Georgia Purdom has a great DVD out. It's called Wonder of the Cell. And that's an interesting one, too. And in there, they use some animation to try to help people see what's going on within your cells and how your cells work in your body to fight off disease and so forth. They investigate how white blood cells eliminate bacterial infection. They even show how proteins literally walk down cellular highways and cells that dramatically change their shape. So that's a great DVD to check out, too. Then there are some also text articles available at the website, answersingenesis.org. If you typed in immune system, there's a lot of different articles that come up, one that's in Answers in Depth, so it's kind of, that, as the title implies, it's a kind of a deeper article that it's a little more technical, but still it's good to look at, and I think the average person can still get a lot out of it. The article is entitled, Our Impressive Immune System, More Than a Defense. It's written by Dr. Alan Gillen and Jason Conrad. It was produced back in January of 2014. It's a longer article, but it goes into a great deal of depth on the immune system, and it's very interesting in very, very many ways. Let me get to the very end of that particular article where they have a summary and some conclusions, and then I'm going to jump off in a different direction here with an article I found this week. The summary of this article, again, by those we just mentioned, says, the immune system is ingenious. In today's world, post-fall, it has three lines of defense and more. The first line of defense includes your skin, the mucous membranes and secretions, and the normal microbiome. The second line of defense includes white blood cells, inflammation, and body temperature. Our third line of defense is comprised of antibodies, specialized lymphocytes, such as B cells and T cells, along with memory cells. But the immune system's functions go beyond simply defense. Two other functions are cleansing and regulating. The immune system cleanses our body from waste buildup and potential harm, and the spleen, from the beginning, was designed to cleanse and filter the blood from aged and dying cells along with bacteria. The spleen maintains blood volume, blood cells, and reusable material from the aged blood cells. Normal microbiota has a symbiotic relationship with our bodies. The sheepdog analogy was used to describe the interaction between our body and the normal microbiome to defend against pathogens. The dogs herd and direct the sheep to stay in line. If a threatening animal comes along, however, they still have the capability to defend and protect the sheep. Immunity includes specificity, versatility, memory, tolerance, and cell and tissue-specific responses. The immune system is adaptive. It learns, has memory, and is specific. The overall complexity of the human body and the interwoven magnificence of our immune system further illustrate evidence of an intelligent design by a master craftsman. It's more than a defense. Truly, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, as the psalmist declares. So, once again, that was from an article entitled, going back to the beginning here, Our Impressive Immune System, More Than a Defense, written by Dr. Alan Gillen and Jason Conrad. I found another article just this past week that was posted at Answers in Genesis, and if you'll bear with me, I'll read it. It's about 4 minutes long, a little over 4 minutes long, to read aloud, and it's really quite interesting, and it ties into that matter of the fact that our immune system does not only include our own body and its cells, but the biome around us. So it's entitled A Trillion First Responders. The article's written by Dr. Joe Francis, and this is what he says. It's the largest security force in the world, a teeming network of first responders that live on nearly every surface of your body, inside and out. They're not part of the body, like your immune system. They're immigrants, but they're still naturalized citizens, and without them, your world couldn't function. Since the Human Microbiome Project began in 2008, biologists have begun to uncover just how closely your body relies on these semi-autonomous partners in securing your well-being. From the skin to the lining of the intestine, the trillions of bacteria and viruses that make up your own personal microbiome keep you safe from invading diseases. Someday soon, scientists hope to train them for new roles like fighting cancer and providing early warning of infections. The body cells in our immune system do a great job of protecting us on the inside, but they provide little to no protection for surfaces like skin and the lining of the intestine. That job is outsourced to the microbiome. The billions of bacteria in the microbiome act like a security force that bars vagrant disease-causing microbes from hanging out in dark alleys. They also alert the immune system when they encounter a threat they aren't equipped to handle. Unlike security patrols, these public servants don't move around independently. Instead, during a security breach, they clone themselves on the spot to form a tight line of newly born, fully armed adult protectors. But not every threat comes from the outside. Sometimes some of these microprotectors get a little overzealous. They accidentally multiply too much and block absorption of food in the intestine or gum up pores in our skin. At other times, good bacteria go rogue. In this fallen world, several mishaps can corrupt good bacteria. For instance, H. pylori are supposed to help control appetite by controlling hormones that make us feel hungry, and so it appears. Sadly, these same bacteria may play a part in causing ulcers in our stomachs when we are under stress. E. coli is another well-known example. It coats our intestines, helping with digestion and making vitamins. But if a certain virus infects E. coli, it can become deadly. When good bacteria multiply too much or go bad, elite SWAT teams rush in to control the disturbance. These nano-security forces come in two forms, exploders and vacuumers. The exploders, called phages, a type of virus that infects bacteria, are the most numerous biological forms on the Earth. tens or hundreds of them can live in each bacterial cell. When the bacteria become too rowdy or malicious, the phages can explode them to help control the populations. Then they slough off the skin along with other debris. But on internal surfaces, such as the intestine lining, too many exploded bacteria pieces just lying around might cause a panic, and the immune system will swoop in. Such an overreaction can cause inflammation, which may be life-threatening and wipe out good bacteria with the bad. The vacuumer's job is to eliminate the threat without causing a mess. One vacuumer, and he gives the scientific name, which I cannot pronounce, B-D-E-L-L-O-V-I-B-R-I-O. So Dellobrio, I'd have to try several times to pronounce it. It's a small bacterium that can infiltrate the larger bacteria. Once inside, these tiny commandos are specialized secretion and suction equipment to chop up the bacteria from the inside and vacuum up the pieces so none are left to alert the immune system. Recent studies have shown that good health requires having enough of this kind of bacteria in our system. Indeed, researchers are testing ways that these disruptor and cleanup agents might also be trained to fight cancer. Phages offer another exciting avenue of research. The slightest disruption from infection can cause the microbiome to release phages. A simple test during routine checkups might detect these phages long before you develop other more serious symptoms. We are learning that our merciful Creator supplied our bodies with a finely balanced, resilient community of protectors that keeps us running well. Rather than competing against each other to survive, these organisms are designed to work together in an intricate web of communication and service for our good and for God's glory. That article, once again, is entitled A Trillion First Responders, written by Dr. Joe Francis, chairperson of the Department of Biological and Physical Sciences and Department of Mathematics at the Masters University. He earned his PhD from Wayne State University and completed a postdoctoral fellowship at the University of Michigan Medical School. All right, very interesting stuff there. So in the time that remains, what does all of this mean for us? Well, you know, when we get a cold and we sneeze get all congested and so forth, you know, as frustrating as that is, and it makes us not feel well, the fact is God has designed our body and even the microbes that surround our body in such a way that it works ultimately for our health, so that when we are afflicted by an infecting bacterium or virus or something, our body responds in ways to overcome the infection and once again to restore us to good health. And the more you study about the cell and the multiple kinds of cells in your body, the multiple organs in your body that God designed to keep us well and to fight off disease and so forth, the more you have to conclude this couldn't happen by accident. You know, if you try to explain even one of these things with millions and billions of years of evolution, it's just really ludicrous, you know, and then all the more so when you consider how many kinds of animals there are, and in each animal, how many different systems and organs there are. And in this case, not only if you just only look at human beings and their various organs and systems, and then you realize there's also a microbiome all around you that, by God's design, works together with your body to fight off disease and so forth, it blows you away.
I didn't know I had a microbiome.
Okay, well, there's a lot of more research out there today, and not only on the Answers in Genesis website, you can read about this at the secular websites, which take an entirely different spin on it, as you can well imagine.
Sure.
For them, if you believe in millions and billions of years of evolution, you've got to try to explain this as just part of evolution of life over millions and billions of years. But, you know, the fact that everything works together so well, and everything is complex with irreducible complexity when you get down to the cellular level and so forth, you know, you have to have everything in place or it doesn't work at all. And so it's really impossible to explain these things by means of evolution. But when you study them, which, you know, a Bible-believing Christian can be a good scientist, tell what he observes think about it, and ultimately you're going to say, this is how it works, and you know, trying to explain where it came from without believing in God is not really logical. it's not logical or theological. It goes against the Bible, right? It goes against the Bible, but it also goes against common sense. You know, if you looked at a complicated machine, whether it's a computer or a commercial aircraft or something like this, you see all the pieces there, and you realize every single piece was carefully designed. It didn't just happen. And even if you had all the pieces, it doesn't just assemble itself automatically. It takes intelligent human beings to put together all the pieces to make a computer, all the pieces to make a commercial airliner or an automobile or anything else. And if that's true of these things, you know, how much more must that be true of our bodies, with every cell in our body specifically designed for a particular function, and even down to the how we can fight off disease and the different kinds of organisms that, on the one hand, can explode, invading bacteria, and other ones that vacuum up the pieces. You know, this is just an amazing, amazing thing that we are truly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. And again, why do we talk about these things every Friday? Well, because in our day and age, many, many people have lost their faith in God. They've lost their faith in the Bible because they've been told over and over again that the world is much older than the Bible says. It's millions and billions of years old. And that you can explain everything without believing in God. Everything can be explained by neo-Darwinian evolution, that somehow all the right ingredients were there, non-living ingredients that somehow became living. And then with the earliest cell, then everything just gradually developed over millions and billions of years by random changes in the genetic code acted upon by natural selection. And so you got all the variety and complexity of life that we have today. See, that was easy. So who needs to believe in God at all? And that's really sad. And so when we talk about these things and direct people to the good resources at Answers in Genesis and other Bible-believing organizations like that, the purpose is to help people realize there are answers to those things that challenge one's faith, whether you're in junior high or high school or college. You know, making use of these resources can be very helpful in Christian apologetics. And it all comes back ultimately to the fact that the Bible is true and trustworthy. We know that because it's God's word, and God does not lie. And at the very heart of the Bible is a message of God's love for us and the salvation that he's provided in Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that the one who created us is also the one who's redeemed us. Christ Jesus, the eternal God, came into our world, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, to be our Savior. You know, who was sinless, still suffered and died for us in our place on Calvary's cross, that we might have everlasting life and salvation through him who died for us and rose again. And this beautiful creation that our sin has corrupted will be restored again on that day when our Savior comes again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when he raises us from the dead and restores our vile bodies and transforms them that they may be like his glorious body.
Indeed.
Without sickness, pain, or death.
I have a great example of that on my run last night. Got to enjoy God's beautiful creation out on a trail. Even got to see two deer up close. But this fallen body, as it ages, is not able to do what it used to do. And I'm feeling it today.
Well, praise God that God even made your body able to repair itself after you've maybe gone a little too far in your exercise routine.
It might take a while. Well, thanks, Pastor. Have a wonderful weekend. God's peace to you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.